Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And as always, opening, John Coltrane's Dear Lord. And we take this time to stop and honor God. Dear God, we come to you and thank you for another day. Thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. Thank you for us being, as my mother always said, clothed in our right mind. Let your will be first and foremost. Thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. Thank you for blessings all unmerited, unseen, unacknowledged. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. We come and pay homage to you, the only one true God, knowing that you may not be everybody's God, but you are God, the one true God. And we thank you. And ask all these blessings in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and Deaf, the show. A little special segment here, you know, during the week they've been running on HBO, The Curious Case of Curt Flood. And I keep getting these phone calls from Rooney. You know, every time Rooney sees the show, he picks the phone up, he calls me. That's about 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Doc, let me run this by you, Doc. I know you know. And he'll be calling momentarily, and he'll have over.
Oh, I'm here, doctor.
There it is, Rooney. Give me the classic line, Rooney. Give me the classic line.
Doc, I know you're the busiest man in the world, but I have to bounce this off you.
Rooney, it's more of a good subject too, because it should be something that should be discussed and digested, and. And a little jazz in the background, as Kurt was, as Tim McCarver said, the quintessential Renaissance man, definitely one of the forerunners of the title, a man who definitely dressed, a connoisseur of wines, voted the best center field in baseball, and one of the great defensive players, and one of the great Cardinals, and one of the reasons for their success, 64 World Champions, 67 World Champions, and 68 back in the World Series, once again back-to-back, one of the few times teams had done it back-to-back. And so we're talking, again, The Curious Case of Curt Flood. And, Rooney, let the questions fly.
No, Doc, as I said, every time I see that documentary, and I always have something else for you. I just want to start at the basics, Doc. Number one, like I always say, and I'll let the, obviously let the fans know what I've been asking you. Doc, like I always say to you, Doc, looking at that, you know, $100,000 or somewhere around there, $80,000 to $100,000 for a black man in the 60s.
Astronomical
Doc, that's
money.
A lot of coin.
Astronomical money for anybody. And I think we talked about this. If you realize, we're talking, I remember being in the Air Force in 1967, and I think I made a total of $3,000 in the military. I mean, here's a guy making $97,000 more, and they said, you know, and it was coming in and going out. I mean, you're looking at and $100,000, just an astronomical amount of money. I mean, there were people who were paying still $45, $50 a month rent. I mean, you didn't have a light and gas bill. I mean, I remember my aunt's phone bills were like $8, $9 a month. So you got to kind of look at what $100,000 meant. At the same time, it lets you go to the flip side and see the kind of sacrifice and kind of zeal and dedication he had. And that was something that was so prevalent when we had the lovely Mrs. Judy Pace Flood on the show, is that people didn't kind of understand his zeal. And I thought a lot, because you've been back and forth with this with me, and you know, his zeal and commitment was so much like the zeal and commitment that Ali had. And the similarities is that, you know, these gentlemen weren't just doing this for themselves. They were doing it for, Marvin Miller had told Curry right up front, and I talked to Marvin at the screening, and Mr. Miller told me, I have a documented, you know, he told Curry from the jump, it's a mean one shot. It ain't going to work, Curry. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to. Bob Gibson, his right-hand man, said, hey, I was behind him, but I was 10 feet behind him. You know what I mean? I had a family and kids. I mean,
yeah.
This was like, you know, come on, man. You know, it's like you want to take the color blue out of the United States flag? Do you want to make it green now? I mean, it was everybody was behind him. And everybody understood what he was doing, and everybody had his support, but was on the down low, as they say. And you look at the situation that he had elevated to the position. I mean, $100,000, first guy to make $100,000, I'm correct. I believe it was Joseph Paul DiMaggio. It might have been Williams, but it was, you know, that when you made $100,000, that was the status quo. The Coupe de Bubble, Mays, you know, buddy of mine, Antonio Emil Nuenham talks about Mickey Mantle being asked, do you know who the highest paid player in sports was? And he said, yeah. And somebody, no, it ain't you. It's a guy named Pelé, football player in Brazil. I mean, you could have, at that time, you could name on one hand the guys who were making $100,000 in the major leagues, him, Aaron, Mays, okay? And you could name the guys on one end in the past who made it, Mantle, Ted Williams, DiMaggio. I mean, you're right. It was a status of eliteness. It was a status position that few guys obtained, and you obtained that in the latter stages of your career. And to a certain degree, Kurt had kind of obtained it before reaching a certain age level. Pete Rose became the first singles hitter to make $100,000 a year. But you're right. It was not only was it a plateau of distinction, but man, that was a lot of scratch, a lot of money. Back in those days, like I said, guys in the military were making like $3,000 a year, Rooney. $3,000 a year.
Not only that, if I may ask, but Doc, how many, now Doc, tell me, you've been in this business a long time, how many black men in this country were making $100, Doc?
Well, yeah, hey, listen, yeah, Mays, Mays, Flood, and Aaron.
Yeah,
I mean, we know that. There may have been some doctors and stuff. I don't think you had too many doctors at that time. You bring a tremendous point. That was an astronomical amount. Like I said, I can't speak for those doctors, lawyers, and judges, but you were talking to 60, David. You know what? I don't think the president was making that kind of money. There's a great line that the babe said, and they said, you're making more money than the president. I had a better year than the president. And
yeah,
I was reading the House Jackson book. I was reading the book, Hal Jackson's book, the house that Jack built, the great Hal Jackson. We're trying to get Hal on this show too. And Hal told him, this is amazing. This guy's met everybody, and he talked about Babe Ruth driving him home from Washington's Griffith Stadium. Hey kid, you need a ride home? Driving him home, the Babe, because you know it was believed by many that the Babe was a brother getting over. It was believed, the guys in the Negro League really believed that Babe Ruth was a brother getting over. You know, his features were definitely African-American-like. But you're talking about the kind of money that Flood turned down. But you understand the zeal. Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson was his idol, okay? And Kurt had gotten into the civil rights movement at the inception of his professional career. Muhammad Ali, okay, when Kurt had that bar down in Spain, one of the fortes was showing Ali movies, Ali fights, you know what I mean? So Ali was another pivotal part in Dr. King. And he was a guy, and I read a quote that I got to save that letter to that Jeff Idelson sent me the other day, where Jackie Robinson, his impact was so profound across the board, civil rights-wise. I mean, Dr. King had said, you know, Jackie had so done such a tremendous job of his imprint on the fiber of the country that move and joining into baseball, and you go back to Joe Lissou, had been pivotal and advantageous to the movement that Jackie Robinson made, that Dr. King made. Because if you look back, you know, Jackie's stand, too, as we hit it now, a good point you bring up, Rooney, which I love these calls of yours, is that, you know, Jackie was nonviolent. That was, you know, we look back, it hit the sound. Jackie's move was a nonviolent move. I mean, Ranch Ricky brought Jackie in and told him, hey, Jackie, look, man, you cannot retaliate. You got, because Jackie was that kind of guy. You know, Jackie was fire and brimstone, you know, and not taking no mierda, as they say in Spanish. I mean, two of the greatest quotes of Jackie Robinson. I mean, the first one, a life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. And then I remember, so I'll never forget, sitting out at Shea Stadium at third base, photo case, looking up, and they were showing different quotes. And one of Jackie's quotes was, above all else, I hate to lose. going back to memory, Melody. And you understand it, so much of Jackie that it hits me now was a nonviolent movement. Jackie had restrained himself for 2 years. And then after the 2 year period, there's a great line where the manager at Philadelphia was baiting Jackie. And ironically, it was the year that Jackie won MVP. And Jackie walked over from the second base slot. Side of the infield, from the right side to the left side, near shortstop, and he told the manager, dugout, look, for 2 years, I had to take that shit. I don't have to take it anymore. Keep it up. I'm coming over there.
And I heard, you know, obviously more about this than I do, that after those 2 years, when he was a bona fide a star, sure, he had to go through all that outside stuff with the counters and people not serving him no those. But I heard on the ball field, Doc, after he was a bona fide a star, that guys wasn't all that eager to try to spike him and all
Jackie was the heart and the soul of the Dodgers. The heart. Jackie was a four-letter man at UCLA, first ever. Okay, one of the greatest athletes of the 20th century, one of the greatest athletes to come out of California. And yeah, after 2 years, well, look at it. In 49, he wins the batting championship and MVP. And since 47, he was Rookie of the Year, the first ever Rookie of the Year winner. Okay, then you look at it, he's in 49, 51, 53, 55. His teammate, Roy Campanella, wins MVP. Willie Mays, who he's a mentor, as he was to all the black players, wins MVP in 54. 56, Don Newcomb becomes, like Jackie, the first player ever to win the Cy Young and MVP in the same year. 57, Hank Aaron wins MVP. 58, 59, Ernie Banks wins MVP. I mean, it's a profound effect on the sport. And the thing about Jackie, I mean, I remember reading, because in the Polo Grounds, they all had to walk from that clubhouse all the way out in deep center field. And they say Jackie used to pound on the wall before the Giants and Dodgers came on the field, and they tell the Giant player, "Hey man, we're gonna kick your ass today." I mean, Jackie was fire and brimstone, and people understand how much he sacrificed his personality. But once Jackie had the chains taken off, I mean, Jackie was fire. He was the heart and soul of the Dodgers. There's a great line when Bobby Towns hit the home run in '51. Jackie walked around and made sure that he touched every single base, every single base. And Jackie was the mentor. The great line that Willie Mays said, I remember asking Willie Mays one time, I said, you know, Willie, Mr. Mays, did you ever realize that your number was Jackie Robinson's backwards? And Willie said, hey, man, you know, Jackie was the first black to play baseball. And Willie impressed upon me what that meant. Jackie was the first black to play baseball. The first black to play baseball, then Willie said. I mean, Willie said, every time I look into my wallet, I thank God for Jackie Robinson. Art Russ told me he never thought there'd ever be a black baseball player. Arthur George Russ told me he never thought, Rooney, there'd ever be a black baseball player. It's amazing.
Wow, Doc. Very powerful, very powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, never thinking that. You know, and you know, it's funny you should mention that, Doc, because another question that I had in regard to that was, not only, I guess they said the brother's very privileged to be able to play pro ball in the whole nine, but Doc, like you said, to put that kind of money, I mean, obviously, I know you said that you talked to Marvin Miller, the then, you know, the head of the Players Association, Doc, that he had to know. He said, Marvin Miller said that it was sure to say, Kurt, you do know you'll never play pro ball again, Kurt. If you do this, Kurt, you know you're never going to play for you.
Hey, well, Rudy, he had addressed all this to Kurt. He told Kurt it's a million and one chance. It ain't going to work. You're going to be ostracized. You know, you're going to find yourself with no job and no living. And Kurt said, hey, man. Kurt said, hey, I understand this. I understand this. Loud and clear. Loud and clear. Which shows you the conviction and the zeal this man had. The conviction and the zeal this man had. You know, God is first. The great Gale Sayers book, I am first. My family and friends are second. I am third. And his wife, you were here when she said she'd be sitting around the house and you hear his curse. Yeah, hey. The adulation, the how happy, elated he was when he'd read that a player had just signed a 3-year, $17 million deal. To see the, and understand his profound effect was not only in baseball, it was across the board. It was across the board. I mean, you know, him and Ollie opened up doors unfathomed. Unfathom. I mean, Messer Smith, the great baseball writer we were talking about, because Messer Smith and McNally, okay, they didn't set out a year. They played a year without a contract. They made no sacrifices, you know. But Curry made the ultimate sacrifice. And it's funny, I think about this too. You know, pitchers were the first one to benefit from this, and it was pitchers who first brought steroids into baseball. Okay? And I'm trying to think of my good friend's Hall of Fame baseball writer from the Daily News, whose name for some reason escapes me right now, Bill Madden. And, you know, Bill Madden said, you know, these guys didn't set out. They just didn't play with a contract. But the sacrifices that Curt Flood made was unreal. I mean, and then you look at the kind of notoriety that he didn't get, and we cannot ever forget the underlying fact that he was black. I mean, Curt Flood was a white guy. There'd be statues all over the place. I mean, you look at the situation, and your great line of point well taken, Doc. When Mark McGwire surpassed Maris and got the 70 home runs and passed him with 66, the Maris family was there to greet him. Where was the Maris family when Barry Bonds did the same thing? Where was the Maris family? You know, and we can never forget in this country. It's always about black and white. You know, and sports is always a barometer of that. It just shows you. I mean, Dusty Baker said one time, guys talking about where the black managers. Dusty said, you know, they always come up with these stories. Where's the black managers? You know, he said, and the guys write a story.
You know, Doc, I can bring this up with you now. I may catch a little heat for this, but heat be damned. I have to make a link, Doc, and I'm going to bounce this off you because I know you understand it. As far as I'm concerned, it's the same damn thing with the Republicans and Barack Obama. For 8 damn years, George Bush had every damn war in the world going in all parts of the damn world. Nobody worried about the damn budget. Nobody worried about the damn ceiling, okay? Now, all of a sudden, everyone, a.k.a. most of the Republicans, are so damn worried about, oh, we're spending too much here, and we have to tighten our belts, and oh, my God, how much is he spending, and we can't lift the ceiling any more than it is. We gotta. George Bush, when he was the damn president, wars every damn place. They didn't give a damn about it, didn't say a damn thing about how much money he was spending. Now, all of a sudden, with Upper Rock, now all of a sudden, it's, well, don't you know what we're spending? Oh, my goodness. Look at the debt. Oh, my. In other words, like I said, my point is, like you said, it's always different. It always seems like it's always different when you have a person of color involved in trying to do something. You know? They didn't care how much money was spent the previous 8 years. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's so much worried about how over budget supposedly we are.
Mm-hmm.
What is all this worry and concern about the budget and the debt ceiling all these years ago?
And since we're going to stay there, I mean, here's a guy who, it's like Curt Flood. I'm glad you, it's like Curt Flood, you know, you've heard no more about Bin Laden, no more about him finding this guy, doing the job that was forgotten about, that seemed impossible, And it's just like, okay, it's like, all right, Ra, okay, it's you know, like Will Chamberlain just going 50-something, okay, all right, yeah, that's Chamberlain. But, you know, if it had been, as Ali said, a person of the complexion of the connection, you'd never hear it. I mean, if he was a white president, the slaying of bin Laden would have been unequivocally, as Don King would say, enough to get him another term. You know, and what we want to say was here. Cedric Raymond, Captain Cedric Raymond, Sea Wings was the one that broke it here to the world before the rest of the country even knew about it. Right here on Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Death, the show. That's where you heard it first, not 1010 Winds, not Bloomberg Radio, not any place else, but right here on the number one Blake Radio Rainbow Soul Station. Sea Wings. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, Rooney, as we're moving into our last 10 minutes or so. The curious case of Curt Flood. Remember Curt Flood? And you look at Obama, like Flood who brought free agency, and Obama who brought down bin Laden. And all of a sudden, it's like, just another day at the office. You know, just, hey, well, you know, okay, you know, big deal. You know what I mean? You know, my goodness. They jump high, and they run fast. Don't move, Rooney. Don't say another word.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Remembering Curt Flood. The curious case of Curt Flood has been running redundantly since last week on HBO. Ross Greenberg, who was the guy that put the whole thing together, we just found out yesterday from my people at HBO that Ross has stepped down as the head man at HBO, and I want to commend Ross for his job. And Ross, I heard Ross saying it was something he wanted to do for a long time. In fact, Ross wanted to do a movie. He's looking from a movie standpoint of view and finally able to get this thing off the ground. And Mrs. Flood, Mrs. the lovely Judy Pace Flood, talks so much about his zeal, his commitment. And Rooney has been calling me all week every time he sees the show. I just hope they don't show it again 3 o'clock in the morning, get another call from Rooney. But
it might happen, Doc.
Yeah, that's right. I put the phone on low. But go ahead, Rooney, you brought us some 2 minutes.
Well, Doc, I'm always, in the last few minutes, like I said, I'm always astonished, Doc, of the sacrifice that he made, Doc.
But and the thing about it, Rooney, is that the thing about it here was that, you know, look at this guy. It was a civil rights move, and people forget that when African Americans make a civil rights stand, when they make a civil rights commitment, it's not just for black people. It's for everybody. It's Jew and Gentile. It's black and white. It's Protestant and Christian. It's tall and short. It's fat and thin. And this was the thing with Flood. Now, Flood, this wasn't just about the black baseball players. This was just because the first guy who had made this sort of movement was a minor league player, a white guy. But, you know, Curt understood what was going to happen. Kurt understood the ratifications. Kurt understood everything that had to happen. And, you know, he took a great stand, Rooney.
Hey, Doc, that was a tremendous stand. And the way that you know that was nobody was basically backing him up. I mean, there's like a 4-1 taking that on. I mean, here you have a guy like you said that basically said, hey, I take this stand. I know that for all effect and purposes, my career is over as a baseball player.
And the thing about it, Rooney, was his wife said, how, and you talked to him, he said, well, Doc, you know, what was he getting out of this? Doc, where was the residue of this? What was the fruitation of this? You know, what was...
Yeah, the recompense for him, Doc. I say sacrifice for others, and that was great. But I don't think my man, meaning Curt Flood, don't think he got to see a whole lot of recompense.
Service to others is the rent you pay for your space on Earth. Muhammad Ali. Yeah, but he did. He did. And I remember Flood was just, he doesn't get enough kind of rare human being he was. I mean, he was just so happy to see the players be free. You know, the Proclamation of Emancipation for baseball players. And I got a chance, by the grace of God, 'cause all good and wonderful things come from God. I have a nice picture with me and him. I have him on VHS. We did a tremendous interview. I have autograph ball. And Kurt was in the ensuing years after all of this, and in his latter years was just elated and happy to see the players get their due. I mean, it's like the guy who does the sacrifice bunt, okay? Rooney goes to third. Larry Hardesty drives a long fly ball to center field. The run scores. We win the game. It was about the team. You know, this is a guy, a team player. But he was the only guy on this team that stood up. And Kurt was just ecstatic to see the frustration of this, ecstatic to see the players be free. I mean, and then ecstatic, I mean, because the whole thing was freedom. It wasn't money here, because that's why he took it. It wasn't about the money, but the money came into play. And this is what he was just so elated. And you look back, it wasn't him doing it for just the black players, because the black players were never, as people kind of have to look at, black players had never been of high populace in the major leagues. I mean, the quota system was there, and you had to be elite player. Look at the Dodgers. Jackie Robinson, all-star second baseman. Roy Campanella, all-star catcher. Okay, Don Newcomb, all-star pitcher. Okay, I mean, you had to be elite. I mean, right there, it's five MVP awards. Five MVP awards and two Rookie of the Years and a Cy Young. The first ever Cy Young award ever won by anybody. Don Newcomb, first ever Rookie of the Year award won by anybody, Jackie Robinson. But they had to go to the Giants. Who's on the Giants? Willie Mays, Monty Irvin. Monty Irvin, first black player to lead the league in RBIs. Hank Aaron, Hank Aaron, MVP 57, batting champion. Ernie Banks, first black player to win the MVP back-to-back. First shortstop, only shortstop ever to win it back-to-back. Back-to-back home run leader. Elite. I mean,
so it's just
there
picking
are
up
less
doctors,
black
a lot
players.
Of very talented folks, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are less black players in the major leagues today than there was 20 years. I remember telling Ken Griffey Jr., me and Junior were talking about that. I said, Junior, do you know there's less black players in the major leagues today than there was 20 years ago? And let's go to Junior's era. Okay, once again, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, elite. You know, I mean, there weren't none of those guys who just could play. I mean, elite. I mean, you go to the teams, Cardinals, Curt Flood, Bob Gibson, okay? Flood and Gibson, okay? Orlando Cepeda.
Mudcat Grant.
Okay, Orlando Cepeda in 67. Okay, in 67, Orlando Cepeda becomes the first unanimous winner of the MVP in the history of baseball. The first ever. In the history of baseball, unanimous winner of the National League MVP award, period. And, Rooney, we're closing down here. We got 2 minutes left. Rooney, a last question or quick thought that we want to thank you for. It was you who brought this whole show about, and we're glad. Rooney, you look
good
in tight,
Doc, baby. I just want to say thank you. I'm sure I thank you and the whole Sports In Depth Nation. Thank you for always having the time whenever I try to get a hold of you day and night. Hey, Doc, you know, always say, my goodness, you know, Tommy, what are you, crazy? But it's just, hey, Doc, it's just that, man, you know, I start to think, and I'm like, you know I have to bounce this off. I have to bounce this off, Doc. He and only is the person that I need to speak to about this. So, Doc, I really, truly appreciate more than you know.
We appreciate what you bring here, and I just thank God that you guys feel that I can do that. And we'll be back. And Rooney always calling in. Like I said, now at least maybe he'll call before midnight, not after midnight. Larry Hardesty, you can come on and blow on if you want to. We're through. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth. Remembering Kurt Flood and thanking Rooney. Rooney, you look
thank
good
you, doctor.
Too, baby. I like them green tights, Rooney. Keep the mask on, though.
This concludes another edition of Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.